You're listening to Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life. And we're back with, let me check, your turn.
Mic check, checking mic.
Oh, good, good enough. I just can't be super loud. You can be louder, I'll be less loud.
Okay.
Is that good?
Balance.
And we're back with episode 114 of To Become Family. Your favorite, absolute favorite marriage and family podcast, because you're a celibate man and you just want to learn more about marriage and you feel like this is the place to learn. Speaking to a very specific audience at the moment. Not all of
you. Does he feel called out or called up?
Just some of you. No, we're happy to be able to do this. And then for all the married couples who are like, hey, let's hear about other marriages that are worse than ours. We're happy. We're here to serve. We are here to serve. 114, though.
Wild.
Yeah. You know what's wild?
What?
How you could be so tired and look like such an absolute snack right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, midnight snack after podcast recording.
That's not happening. Oh, man. You're very sweet.
Oh.
This is the same outfit I wore to Mass yesterday.
Oh, and I loved it. You know what I loved even more than your outfit? Is our daughter's outfit.
Oh, first communion.
First communion dress. Tell them what you did for the dress.
Oh, yeah. So, So a sweet lady at our parish does seamstressing, tailoring on the side. Mm. And she took my wedding dress and made it into a first communion gown, which is really neat. And what's neat is like my wedding dress was handmade by a girl I went to high school with to begin with. So it's kind of special in that way. All wedding dresses are special, but it's neat that it went from one handmade dress to another handmade dress. And, yeah, she just looks so gorgeous. Sweet and beautiful and made me excited because I really liked my wedding dress and the pattern of it. And I don't know. Anyways, it was cool. I had originally intended to try to make it into a baptismal outfit. And then You get pregnant and you like are so tired and can't think of things. So
I'm glad we didn't do that.
No. Yeah. So, and we have a little extra, so maybe confirmation tie or something like that. But she got to wear her first communion gown.
You can make it into pillows.
Okay.
No, yeah. I love, one thing I love about her is that she looked beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Her veil looked beautiful. She was so excited about receiving first communion. But I love that she can look so girly and feminine, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, be such a beast in other things that she does, yes, right? Like she's, yes. She's great at, she's great at jiu-jitsu. She's very, like, very rough and tumble.
Yep. She's known as the strongest girl up through sixth grade at school. And she's only first grade.
She's super.
The boys all arm wrestle her. Like sixth grade boys line up to arm wrestle our first grade daughter.
Are
impressed by her
tough cookie
show.
But she's super strong and just, because she's in a house with four other boys. Like she plays a lot of boy games, but it's really cool to see her femininity still come out and like, cause like even just like little things that she does, like she's still like for Mother's Day, the kids made all the meals for Monica. And she made the macaroni and cheese for dinner. And she was just very happy to be able to do that. Like she's just happy to be able to serve.
Like in a different way than the boys, the way that she was excited about making it. She loved serving the whole family. Like it wasn't about mommy and like her favorite food.
She laid everything out.
Set the table and she just asking everybody, did you like it? How did it taste? Was that enough? Like she just loved the servitude of it and the serving. It was sweet.
Who did she give such a big hug today? Colby? She jumped and gave somebody a hug after they got their... So today they got their belt promotion test.
It's been a lot of big stuff. Yeah, so we had a belt promotion at Jiu-Jitsu tonight, too.
And she jumped into line, out of line, and gave somebody a big hug. I think it was Colby. Like she just hugged one of the boys because she was so happy and proud of them.
She knows how hard they've been working.
Mm-hmm. It's just really cool to see that she's able to balance all that. And like she got her first and second communion this weekend.
Yes.
and loved it.
She did. So sweet. Yeah. She loved her veil. We got our veil from Ave Maria Veil Company. Check them out on Instagram. This young woman we met at Seek hand sews, I don't know how you make veils, but anyways, she
3D prints.
No.
All a sham.
She makes them by hand, and she did a beautiful job. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
Hopefully like a good hand-me-down. I don't know. Heirloom? Hand-me-down? I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, chapel veil.
Oh, so pretty. I'm just to see if she wants to wear it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, it's like a chapel veil. Yeah, so it's not like a first communion wedding veil kind of thing.
I'm really not big into pushing anything faith-related on the kids. Any additional devotionals or sacramentals outside of just Mass.
Mm-hmm. And it's neat they've all picked up on different things that they love, which is
Parenting is such an interesting experiment, right? Because like you and I resolved to parent a certain way. Like we want certain outcomes, but like we're not sure how we're going to go about it.
No. Constantly checking in. How's it going?
Yeah.
Well, is this achieving what we were hoping for?
Because like similarly, so like Colby recently, our oldest got invested into the Brown scapular.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked him because there's certain promises you make when you wear a scapular. One of them is to live out, like, we talked about this in other episodes, like live out chastity according to your state of life, explain what chastity is, explain all the, you know, other things you have to live out. And one of them is like they have to do a particular prayer to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowed
to have permission from the priest that does the investiture to like appropriate to their stage of life, their season of life, like what that Marian devotion can be.
So his is a decade of the rosary. And we have not. So like one thing I told him before he did it, it was like, if you're going to make a promise, like the scapular is not going to save you from, you're not going to like go to heaven just because you're wearing a scapular. Mm-hmm. Like it's cloth. It's blessed. It's great. It's a sacramental, but like, that's not going to save you. What will is the promises you're making and like fulfilling those promises. Right. And we have not been like, I've not been keeping up to make sure he's doing it. Like, nope. That's not my job. I didn't make the promise you did.
Right.
But then, so before bed, I'm like, so have you been doing the rosary? He's like, yeah, I do it every morning. He's like, I do it. I wake up and I do it before I get out of bed. Cause like the day's busy. I may not be able to pray, but like, I know I can. And I was like, a disciplined young man.
Wow. Cause we never suggested like, that.
No, I didn't. We didn't give him anything.
And no,
that freedom of like,
you,
like, cause we didn't, what we gave him is a standard. Like if you're making a commitment, you got to stick to it.
Yeah.
But then him figuring out how to do it, it's just interesting. Again, it's an experiment. Cause like, I know that wouldn't work for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will. I don't know.
I don't know. He can't remember to brush his teeth.
Well, true. He's more like his father. But it's just
neat though.
He figured that out on his own.
And we had said that too. You know, he spoke to the priest and he gave him his devotion. And my one suggestion was, okay, well, we'll order this. Do you feel like this is reasonable? Yes. Okay, we'll order the scapular. But I think from now until you're invested into the confraternity that you should practice and see if you're able to do it and what things, you know, are hard to do and what things you need to, you know, adjust to see, make sure that happens. So he apparently figured out that mornings are the, are the prime time for prayer.
And like one of the things that I thought it'd be worth talking about today was how, so we're going to be focused more on parenting. I don't know if the title reflects that. But the balance that we've been able to strike. So again, like we're over 10 years into parenting. I don't think we have everything down. We definitely still like make a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I think we have been able to do well is build a culture where the kids understand how loved they are. They understand their expectations and mostly like they understand that you and I see things the same, right? Like we have the same,
we're on the same page.
And, it's hilarious when they come to one of us and they ask for a thing and we respond. They're like, that's what mommy said. Or like, that's what daddy said.
Like,
and
like, they're frustrated
because like kids try to play you. I know if no matter how angelic they might look, like they try to play you in this is what we used to say in the group homes. Like we'd say like the kids are going to play you. And by that we mean like they play you against each other. So like they might ask one person for a thing. And if they don't like the answer, they'll go to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've both done a good job of being like one of my responses first is not go ask mommy, is what did mommy say?
Mm-hmm.
And then usually if they say mommy said no, I'm like, all right, then the answer is no. And if they said mommy didn't say anything, one, I think they're lying. But then I say what I say, and then they'll be like, that's what mommy said. I'm like, well, I thought mommy didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
But I like that we've been able to do that. I don't know how we got to that point, though. Like, I think that's something that I think we can take for granted that we see eye to eye, because I know that not everyone does. Mm-hmm. And they might, like, there's times where I'm like, I wish you would let up on them for something. And I know, like, likewise, like, you're like, yeah, you're being a little harsh. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, I think we support each other.
We support each other, and then we talk about it at another time.
But, like, how did we get to that point? Because I feel like that's something that, like, took a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the point of this podcast. I talk about the trial and error so that they don't have to do as much error.
Fair. Yeah. You know what? I'm not sure how this connected to our parenting, but I know at the beginning of our marriage, there were so many times where I would commit to something or answer somebody before talking to you about it. And you're like, why didn't you just say, I have to talk to Renzo first? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't think of it. Or like, I thought I knew what you would say, or mm-hmm. I don't know. I had a lot of excuses of why I didn't. And it became such a point of contention that I really, really was, I don't know. I just tried like for everything mm-hmm. to make sure I checked in with you first. And more often than not, we were in agreement. And mm-hmm. if we weren't, it wasn't like, oh, I just deferred to your answer. But it was like, oh, I didn't think of something a certain way, or you didn't think of something a certain way. And you're like, then you would come to my conclusion mm-hmm. or I'd come to your conclusion. Like by us processing through it, it helped us actually to come to an agreement. So mm-hmm. it wasn't necessarily that we were like, oh, we just have to pick which one we're going to say out loud. But so I don't know if that helped with the parenting part. Cause I don't remember how, yeah. Like I don't remember how that translated to parenthood, but I remember that mm-hmm. being a really big issue in the first few years of our marriage. So I don't know, maybe that's just like that seeped into now that our kids try to catch us one-on-one mm-hmm. with something.
Well, I remember at least for me growing up that I had two different, I knew that my parents saw things differently and like wanted to, I don't know if like be on my good side or like win me over was the right phrase, but like there was definitely like one who was stricter and the other one who was like more loosey-goosey, and I knew who I can play when to get what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that for our kids. Like I wanted them to know like this is the way things are. And so I always had a desire of like, let's make sure we're on the same page with things. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but like we must have had conversations though, because like that's one thing to be like, don't make plans. I don't mm-hmm. want to leave the house.
Yeah, yeah.
But like it's very different to be like when we must have had like a thing, like I told Colby this. Please don't contradict. Like, we must have, no?
There's been times, I think, that, I mean, even now.
It must have started when he was, like, 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's even times where, like, I said this. I wish you hadn't said something different. I'm like, oh, shoot, you're right. I didn't check to see if you had addressed this certain situation yet.
Okay. Because I think
it's important. It happens more casually now, but.
Yeah, because I think that's an important part. Because I think a lot of times we can assume. Well, I think, not we assume, sorry. I think people can think that eventually we just will get into a flow without having the
being intentional about it.
Not just being intentional, but like having the confrontation about it.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And being like, I said this, why'd you say that?
Yep.
Can we get on the same page about it? And like, yep. it can be done charitably.
Yeah.
But I like that we don't parent in two different directions. Cause I know that that's a possibility.
Well, and right? I think that there's a trap too of like feeling like we fit into just certain roles in parenting. Mm-hmm. Like, one is the disciplinarian and one is the comforter, or one is the good cop, bad cop, or like whatever. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. That like, oh no, that's in mommy's domain. So I'm just not even going to touch it. And yeah. Like, oh, that's daddy's deal. Like daddy does sports things. So like go talk to daddy if you have a question about your sports stuff. And
well, even like me, like, oh, daddy's not home all day. So therefore when he comes home, he just wants to be fun. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't want to have to.
Right.
And I think it's a bunch of nonsense. Sorry.
sorry. Adjusting my seat. So I think that that can be a trap that couples easily fall into because, it's just easier if I can compartmentalize the things that I'm responsible for with the kids. But then so often, like, those things can eventually become contradictory, even though they like live in two different mm-hmm. worlds. Like, oh, mommy's in charge of all the school stuff and daddy's in charge of the sports stuff. But like, if we're not on the same page as far as like discipline and integrity and mm-hmm. hard work and how you respond to failure, then our kids are not going to understand how to do either of those, like how to understand how to do any of those things in either of those situations. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. I think that there's so many elements of life that your, like your virtue and your character overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, when we live a disintegrated way of parenting, then that will affect how our children integrate or disintegrate mm-hmm. into their activities.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it'll be different when they get into like teenage years. Right. And not, I guess not in the way that we do it, but like how necessary, because I feel like it's super necessary now that they don't get different answers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or even like, I know our kids like love routine and routine is good for kids, but like they're at least getting the same types of responses from mommy and daddy
mm-hmm.
rather than like sometimes, because that's something I grew up with too. I know you're listening, you know who you are. Like some days I would grow up and I would grow up. Some days I would never grow up. Some days the parent in question would be like in a great mood. So yeah. Everything would be great. And other days, parent would be terrible mood. And like
yeah.
the same types of things I would be requesting or doing, and it'd be like, yeah. get a negative response. Didn't and work. Be very yeah. confusing. Whereas I like that. I think for the most part, they're able to get the same. What is this? I'm making gestures, but like, we're not like up and down. We're mm-hmm. like
consistent.
Is yeah. this consistent?
Yeah.
Like even keel. Is that a thing?
Flat. Is what you're demonstrating.
But,
yes.
But like they're not getting
flat
like,
lines.
It's not like they don't do their work and they're getting like sometimes it's fine that they don't do their work. Other times it's like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're just like, no, every time you don't do your work, it's the same kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or like after the soccer game, I was very clear with our young man. Yeah. I was like, do you want me to be honest? Do you want me to tell you what you want, like to yeah. make you feel good? And he's like, no, I want you to be honest. Like, okay. So yeah. I was honest. And I feel like that's how I talked about other things
yes.
too. And that's how you talked about other things. Like yes. it could be changing your room. It could be anything, yes. but we always communicate the same way to them.
Well, and I think, okay. So two things I'm hearing from what you're saying also with my active background listening. Knowledge active of listening. Of living here, but,
that's key.
So I think that we have probably ad nauseum come up with these like same baseline priorities and baseline like things in our home. I don't know if priorities is the right word, but so one thing that we say to our kids all the time or we ask them is, why do we love you? And the answer is because you're my son, because I'm your son or because I'm your daughter. And the lesson we try to teach them out of that is that like there's nothing that you can do to change that fact.
Mm-hmm.
So in presenting this question to Colby after his soccer game of like, you cannot change that. And we just want to understand what your goals are here in soccer. Is your goal? And that was like how you started. You're like, is your goal to just like have fun with your buddies and like soccer and play? Because then I'll tell you, you did great because you did. Like you had fun and you didn't stink. Like you weren't horrible, but, or do you want to be a good soccer player?
It's so hard watching a game like that.
Yeah.
Right? Next to a former player of mine.
Yes.
Because like I would never have allowed
yes.
any of the like I was such a stickler when I coached. Like one, and I coached basketball. I didn't coach soccer.
Yeah.
But in basketball, like if there was any defensive error or like a lapse of judgment in mm-hmm. how they shifted and like the play they made, like I would lose it on them, and not like lose it in a bad way. Like it was definitely like the same parenting, like the same way that we parent the kids, but it was like definitely escalated in like the intensity of it.
Yeah.
And like I would always follow up and make sure that, because I wanted them to understand. It's like yeah. it wasn't like a parent or a coach that like degrades the player and makes them feel bad. It was definitely like, you can't make this error again. Like the reason you're doing this is because of this. It can't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't talk to Colby about soccer or any of the kids about sports to that extent at yep. all.
Mm-hmm.
We just let them like go have fun, do what you want.
Yep.
You're doing great.
Yep.
Whatever. Ball hit you in the face. You're doing great. But at some point, like we are still very aware of athletics.
Yeah.
And what need, like, if you're at this, like, I remember, like, he is at the age of where my now friend who's in the, who's an Army Ranger
yep.
was when I first started coaching him in yep. basketball. Mm-hmm. And I know how hard I was on him then.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you get, like, his coach is super easy on him compared to how I was. Like, I know it sounds like his coach yells, like, oh, you have, no, compared to how I was on the other guys. Yep. So, like, but I know how hard I had to push him to get to, like, where he, you know, he got sure. to, he got to where he was in basketball. He did great. And I'm like, if you want that,
yep.
like, do you want me to tell you, like, do you want us to tell you, like, where you're at yep. in terms of that trajectory? Or, like, yeah. are you just okay?
Yeah.
And I'm happy he was, he was very receptive. Yeah. Like, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm not yep. bothered by anything you told me.
Yep.
Which is cool.
And then he's been working on it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, not that it was long ago, but he's already implementing and trying to practice more and do things differently, like practice more intensely.
But what I loved about the exchange is that you didn't know what I was going to say,
mm-hmm.
but like you supported me. And I don't know if I was too much, but like I appreciated being able to address him and not like have you come afterwards and like coddle him. Like mm-hmm. you like, and you, I'm assuming, I don't know if you did, but like you reiterated what I said, but like in, from a mom's perspective, yeah. right? But yeah. like, but yeah. like that's,
yeah.
I think that's super yeah. healthy that he hears it from both.
Yeah.
Different ways of talking and whatever, but like you didn't come and coddle after.
Yeah. It was funny. So yeah, we drove in separate cars. So you talked to him before we like headed home, and then I had him in the car and I was like, buddy, did you understand what daddy was asking you? Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me what daddy was asking you so I could like hear that he understood. He's like, well, I want to be good at soccer. I want to be better at soccer. I want to be the best soccer player I can be. So that means I have to do things. I'm like, yeah, okay. And like, what kind of things do you think you have to do? And we just kind of went back and forth and we're like, okay, so then mommy and daddy are going to remind you of those things. And we're going to let you know when you're not doing those things so that you know you're not doing the things you said you wanted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and if you change your mind and you just want to have fun with playing soccer and mm-hmm. not work as hard as you can to get better, then you just let us know. And we'll keep coming to soccer and we love you very much. And like, we love watching you play soccer and we love that you found a thing that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I followed up on that. But you're asking mommy and daddy to remind you. So sometimes sometimes you're not going to like to hear that. But yeah. So yeah, I did follow up on the way home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think.
But like that, how did we get to that? Because I think that's a really cool thing. I would want to encourage couples to get to that point.
Well, so the point I was trying to make beforehand, like with the foundation of like, we love you no matter what. And so I think that you and I we talk a lot to each other. I think that we prioritize time together to like check in. Like there is no two ships passing in the night kind of situation here. Like if we're busy, like I don't care. We are like making sure that we're checking in and how are things going and what's happening with the kids and how are we feeling about stuff. I don't know. I think that we really prioritize communicating often. Jordan Peterson, I've seen this and I've heard him say this like in several different places, but that couples need at least 90 minutes a week to just check in with each other, communicate with one another. I forget what he called, like, but kind of like go through the schedule and update one another and like let each other know, like just like business, like family business. He's like, you need at least 90 minutes a week of that before you can even start to think about intimacy.
Mm.
And it was like, and he's like, but that builds and that allows for intimacy because you feel like you know what's happening with one another.
Interesting.
And so I think not that we knew that from the get-go or like have been like, oh, Jordan Peterson said this, so we must do it. But I think that we've really harped on, I don't know, like I know I had a stepdad who worked all the time and a mom who was responsible for 95% of the stuff that happened at home and like the schedule keeping and what we were up to. And he didn't make it to all of like the activities because he was working late and traveling and stuff like that. So I don't think he knew to the extent of like what was going on in our family. And so by default, my mom made a lot of the decisions and my mom did a lot of the follow through and stuff like that. And I just didn't want that in our home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever like articulated that, but like, I just knew that that's not mm-hmm. how I wanted it. I didn't want it all on me either. Like, it's not, I'm kind of a control freak and I probably could do it. Like, I could manage it all on my own, but mm-hmm. something in that feels disordered to me. So I don't know, maybe I just over communicate with you, but in that, I think that we have come to an agreement on certain baselines or priorities that we have for our kids. And so all of our communication with them and decision-making with them mm-hmm. like stems from that. So in addition to you are loved because you're my child, not because of anything that you do, but also that we prioritize kindness and safety and like, and discipline. Like, you mm-hmm. do hard things. It's okay for things to be hard. It's okay to be scary, but we still do them. Mm-hmm. And like, that is just like a common thing that like all of our kids could say that.
Yeah.
Like, we do hard things because we
yeah.
say that all the time. So I think that we like return a lot to those baselines and then
sure.
communicate from there.
There's also a level of trust though that I feel like we've been able to cultivate. Again, I don't know. I want to know how we got here. Because I feel like we can't be prescriptive. There's a level of trust where that, why is the cat meowing? You already ate.
How did they get out?
I don't know. Magic. Oh, it's Polly. I'm not editing any of this. But like the level of trust that we've been able to get to allows for things like, for example, for us to support what the other is doing, even if we don't fully know where they're going. So like the soccer thing is a good example, but another one, like I know that there's been times where a kid has come up to me and like said to me, like, I didn't like how mommy did blank. So like it could be because you scolded them about something or, I can't think of other reasons, but usually it's because of that. And like, I don't like that mommy did this. And I try really hard to always take your side. Mm-hmm. I don't think I think I always take your side and be like, okay, well, you probably did something you weren't supposed to because mommy doesn't just scold. So like, what did you do? And we talk about it forever and like, okay, do you feel bad that it happened? Yes. Okay. Do you want an apology from mommy? Yes. Do you understand why she did it though? So you're not like, you still did a thing that you need to fix. Yes, I understand that. And then they go to you and then like, and then I encourage them to go get an apology. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're really great about always apologizing. And like, that's like the rupture and repair from Dr. Brininger that he's talking about. But I think just like, I have usually I don't know what they're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. there's not like, I don't, but like, I have a level of trust that like you handle the situation the best way you could in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I usually try to, support what you did so that they don't feel like, I don't know. I don't want them to feel like that we're just on separate pages. Cause I remember feeling so like as a kid feeling unsettled by that.
Yeah.
Like as much as like, I knew my parents loved me. Like when they don't see eye to eye, like there's an unsettling, like,
mm-hmm.
like you don't know. And this is an exaggeration, but like, this is the best I can describe it. But like, you don't know like which way is up. Cause mm-hmm. like, you're like, as a kid, you're just kind of like,
well, which one of you do I listen to? Right, and like follow? Like, who's the smarter one? Who's the better one?
Like, cause yeah. eventually then there's a flip where you're like, you're old enough. You're like, I'm going to listen to the one that gives me what I want.
Right.
But like as a younger kid, I remember also feeling that too, of like, I don't know who's right. Who's wrong. And that's so like, I don't want them to ever feel that like they, you know, but then, but they also have like, they feel a safety of like coming to me and saying like, I didn't like this. Cause I know they've done the same thing for me. Like mm-hmm. when I've done the thing, I'm not supposed to, but like handle the thing not as professionally as I wish I did. they'll say it to you. And then I know similar things happen where like they come to me and daddy, I didn't like when you said this.
Yeah.
Like even some silly things jump off. Like, I didn't like that you took the toy when I was praying. Like, well, you shouldn't have had it, but
so
whatever.
Yeah. But for him, it's usually more of like, I didn't like your tone or the way you looked at me
it hurts some deep.
Yeah.
But like, so like even that of like just trusting you as a parent, I don't.
Yeah.
Give prescriptions, please. Doctor.
Doctor. I really think that.
We must have had like knockdown dragouts about this at some point. I don't feel like we ever get anywhere without fighting.
I definitely think that we have disagreed on approaches to parenting before. Like, there's definitely been times where, like, I've disagreed with what you did, or like,
how did I show you you were wrong? Sorry.
Oh boy.
the meme of like, I was just trying to explain, I wasn't being defensive. Yes. But now I want to just argue because I feel like I was being, like, you told me I was being defensive. I feel like you had that look on your face. Yes. When I said, how did I convince you?
Yes. So there's definitely been times where we've disagreed about a parenting thing. We've tried really hard to not show that in front of our kids and to like support the other person. But I think that we, mostly you, refuse to let something lie. like you refuse to let there be a conflict and it just remain a conflict. And like, so we have spent long evenings like getting to the root of like, okay, well, where are you coming from?
Yeah, it's
and where
like 1 a.m. right? We would stay up super late.
Oh my goodness,
late.
Yes.
This
so
is before
late.
Working out.
So that
I couldn't do that now.
Now we need to speed it up because jujitsu starts at 6 a.m. But and just like really getting to the root of like, why do you feel so passionately about this? And why do I feel passionately against it? And like, and understanding where the person's coming from. And then there's just times where we have one called each other out or up. I like the phrase called up, but like called the other up and been like, I think that you're coming at this because of how things were in your home. Mm. And that's not our home. So like we don't need to overcorrect or overcompensate. Or there's been times where like you're being too lenient on something because like when you don't address it, it can turn into this. And like the other person kind of sees the trajectory or the path and you're like, oh, I hadn't thought about like long term. I was just thinking in this moment. I think that we just refuse to disagree and like let that
sure,
be.
Yeah.
Like we don't agree to disagree very often.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we're like, no.
What does that mean?
Why do we disagree?
You mean lose-lose? Lose-lose-lose.
There we go. Like, why do we disagree? How can we come to an agreement? I think that there are times, so I think that's one thing. I think there are other times where you have deferred to me because I've just learned more about like child development stuff. So you're like, oh, I had these expectations, but you're telling me that that's like unrealistic for a child this age or what.
Well,
have
I also
you.
Know that you're with them more than I am. So like you can tell like, me about their
that.
Behaviors.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
Like there's times when I come home and like they're acting a certain way and I want to immediately correct. And you're like, no, this has been the day. Like they're just, this is just the way they are today.
Yeah. Or like, so, like they're going through like a mental milestone right now. So like they're really firing on all cylinders here, but because of that, they're like super tired. Because
we have one of our kids who likes to wander off away from people, like just wants his alone time. And I remember coming home and wanting to like, I correct that often and wanting to correct it. And you were like, no, he was great today.
Yeah.
He needs his space.
Let him have his introvert time.
Like,
yeah.
But like, I see that kind of thing happens in front of the kids and I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
Because I was about to act on something without all the information and then you gave it to me and I was able to change. Like,
yeah.
I like that they can see that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it shows that like a parent knows me and that another parent is willing to like learn that, I think, and like understand and to like gather the information instead of just making like blanket statements. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's been really important, but that's because we have sat and talked about him, like just the two of us of like, okay, he's different. Like he's our second child. Our first one is like super extroverted, has FOMO. Like he's like me a lot. And then our second one, John Paul, is more like you, but like they're different combinations because like Colby has anyways. But because we've sat and talked so much about how they are, I can just say, no, like he stretched himself today.
Yep.
He needs some alone time. And you know what that means.
Yep.
Like I don't have to go into this full explanation because we've already done that. Like we've done that legwork. So it's exhausting and it makes it seem like, all we do is talk about and think about our kids. And like, mm-hmm. a lot of that is true. Like we do think about them and plan for them and, mm-hmm. and want their good. So we try to figure out, like, I don't know, we're reflective of our day and like, what kind of things should we adjust to parent them well? Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's amazing that like you can have the same recipe and five different children come out.
Maybe they repeat after on the sixth.
I'm not gonna find out.
The one of the things I also like is that we as our kids have gotten older, we've learned who can do what with them well when they're in certain moods. So for example, like there's some where mm-hmm. I'm like,
yes
I can handle them right now, and then I know at some point I'm like, nope, they're past that point.
Yep.
You need them like mm-hmm. and it depends on the child. Like I know,
yes,
I'm trying not to, I don't want them to call them out individually, but like for one of them, I comfort them.
With humor.
Oh, but I can cover, I know, like if they're upset, I know I can cover them, but like there's times when there's like yelling, screaming, and like I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like because I also get triggered by it, and then I start reciprocating.
Everyone's escalating.
And I'm like, this isn't helpful.
Everyone's yelling.
Yes. Whereas like then you come in and like it seems like you're being more rational than I am, but like you're saying the same exact thing.
Same words.
And for some reason, it just changes. And like that's, so like I like that we tap in for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like we've got, I'm proud of us for getting to the point that like it's just like a, can you
mm-hmm.
take so and so? And it's just like, okay. And like we know,
mm-hmm.
and like even for like shower time, bath time, like I know they're yelling daddy, but like, can you go?
You can tell by the tone that you'll handle this better than me.
Yep. Oh, it just happened.
Yep.
Freaking kids.
And I think that there's like, there's humility in that too. 'Cause like you want to be the answer to all the things,
mm-hmm.
or there's like engagement. 'Cause there's certain times where you're like, I don't feel like handling this, mm-hmm. but like I have to.
But even like, even like motivating them. I know that with our oldest that we just talked about the soccer thing, I know I said what I said, but I know I didn't motivate him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think he listens to your voice a lot better for things like that.
Mm.
That makes sense. Like mm-hmm. you can, yeah. Like I've seen you have a conversation with him. Like I feel like you're able to like speak the same language sometimes. Yeah. That, like I,
you can instruct him very well, right? Yes. Like he learns from you very well. You can, every night you go over some jujitsu move and he does it the next day, like at practice. And
mm-hmm.
anyways, like you guys speak sports. Like mm-hmm. you speak like the strategy of sports very well, and he gets that. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I guess like I do think that I say the thing that gets him to like
understand,
flip the switch, like okay, and like
what the heck?
Yeah. I know you wish it was you, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that we've really taken this parenting thing as like a partnership really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. It goes back to our coaching, but we're like, we're teammates. Like this is a team thing and we've got to be doing this. Like we've got to be working towards the same thing together. And
so finish that thought.
Well, I think that it's really important to not discount that or like let that slide sometimes. Like, oh, this area of life isn't that important for us to be on the same page about. Like, mm-hmm. no, because then it goes into
or even like, being like, oh, because you're the wife, you're the one that's supposed to be in charge of the children. So like mm-hmm. you need to know them in and out. And like you just tap me in whenever you need me.
Yep. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Tell me what to say and I'll say it. Yeah.
Also like, so what would you say for advice for couples who have like one kid or two kids? Or one kid and one kid on the way whose kids are young. And, like, mm-hmm. they're not at the point where they're talking to a 10-year-old about soccer. But, like,
mm-hmm.
I think – I could be wrong. I could be misremembering creating memories because we do that as humans. But I feel like even as the – when we had a 2-year-old and a newborn, like, mm-hmm. we were talking about their behaviors and, like, oh, they're doing this.
For sure.
And like, Colby throwing food against the wall.
Yeah.
And
oh, he was the worst like, – he was the worst like, toddler.
When he's done, we're just going to turn around.
Yeah. I think because I think we talked a lot about like discipline and mm-hmm. like what behaviors, yeah, what are unpleasant behaviors that we want to address mm-hmm. and like, okay, what's also the preceding trigger that like leads to this kind mm-hmm. of stuff? Should we address that first, you know, or like, mm-hmm. yeah. And what kind of consequences are we comfortable with? What are we not comfortable with?
So in terms of husband and wife, like how would you say that conversation was led in our home, or like what's an ideal? Because I can see how that can become the wife says, this is what happens, this is what needs to happen, and the husband just does it. But I don't feel like that's what happened with us.
No, I think there were a lot of things that you didn't like, and you're like, what are we going to do about this?
I don't remember. That's a made-up memory. That sure. Definitely.
That authentic laugh says otherwise.
That doesn't sound like me.
Imposter.
Right, but do you see the temptation of like...
Oh, for sure. For sure. And there's also that temptation for the wives to like to do that because like the type A or like the control part in me or like, yeah, I'm the one that spends most of the time with them. Like you should listen to me and stuff. But
which could like, because you spend all day with them, like could cloud how you see
could be
things.
Missing stuff.
You could be wrong.
Absolutely. Because if an outside person or a dad who's working and then coming back in, or however the dynamics are, but if like somebody kind of like comes in and notices this thing and you've been rationalizing why it's okay because, you know, they didn't nap today or whatever, but like actually it's a pattern of behavior and they're the ones pointing it out, it can feel a little bit hurtful because you're just like, you feel responsible for all of your children's behaviors. Like you feel like I should be able to mold them into exactly how I want them to be all the time. So it can feel a little bit like when you point out a child's behavior that you're actually pointing out my parenting flaws instead of a toddler just being a toddler. So
yeah.
So you have to be careful not to be like super defensive and take everything personally. Mm-hmm. But like if somebody points out a pattern and they're like, this is really like... Yeah, this is unpleasant in the moment. And if it continues, this is not like, this is going to be harder and harder to unlearn. Like this behavior is going to be harder and harder to unlearn. I think, what is it? Is it Jordan Peterson too about like, by the time you're four, if you're not likable, like,
yeah, if your kid's not likable by four, everyone's going to lie to him for the rest of his life. His peers will lie to him pretending that they like him, and adults will lie to him pretending that they like by just tolerating him.
And I think that's like,
That's an interesting.
I think that's really important because like you have to work on that human formation when your children are young and you feel like it's not that important because they're not in school yet, or they're not even talking yet, or they're not like on a sports team. So they don't need to know how to be on a sports team. Well, guess what? How do they prepare to be like an active participating member on a sports team? By like, hey man,
if your kid's biting, you got to cut that out by three.
That's right.
Or else they're going to be picked last. There's a high correlation. The biters are the ones that get picked last.
The biters.
I'm so sorry. I don't know if this is
all
true.
All I'm sitting here is looking at my gym class. I'm like, which ones were the biters? I bet I can pick which ones were the biters.
They're not going to work hard. They're just going to bite.
No, they're just going to bite. And they bite in different ways when they're eight. But it's not actually biting. Anyways, I think that like... And listen... Okay, here's the thing. Parenting is exhausting also. So there gets to a certain point where you're just like, do I need to address this too? Oh, because I've already addressed so many other things. I'm so tired and I feel like I'm addressing 100,000 things. Like, yes, this is also important.
Can you imagine if I could take the energy? Because I don't think I have the ability to not address a thing.
No.
I don't know. But imagine if I was like that about like, cleanliness.
Oh, can you imagine? Imagine. Imagine.
In the house. Not like personal. I'm clean. I meant like, well, do you remember Liam?
Yes, I was just going to say that story.
But Monica's cousin's
when he we was were younger. Dating.
Why? He has never seen a colored person before.
Why is he?
A POC, person of color.
Why is he so Latinx. Dirty? Does he know how to take a shower?
Yeah, he thought I was just dirty. Nope. Skin's just dark, dude.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's like, I think it's funny. I said to you before about, I feel like ADHD is an advantage for certain things. And for I just can't let behaviors go.
No.
Like maybe it'll come back to bite me when they're older, when the kids are older and I'm older and I'm doing things and they're just correcting everything. but like I just,
Dad, you can't act like that in public.
I do what I want. No, but I think I have that tendency of just like every little thing. They're like, nope, I don't like that. We're cutting that out. Mm-hmm. Even if it's socially acceptable, like if I don't like a thing. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, and then there's sometimes after you say that, I'm like, it's okay for them to do that. And you're like, fine. That's just because so-and-so from your class or whatever, like, call out the thing. But I don't know. I think my biggest piece has always at the end of every podcast, go and talk about these things with one another. But like the biggest thing is you guys have to talk about all of these things. And I'm sorry.
Don't let one of the spouses pretend like it's not their responsibility.
No.
Like it's both of yours.
Listen, you're part of the problem. You're part of the reason why they are the way that they are. You help make them.
If you participated in the making, you participated in the molding.
Ooh, look at that. That's an Instagram post right there. I think that's true though. No, you cannot defer. This is like, we say defer in the like, when we have these background conversations and one just seems to like know more than the other, whether that's like the Holy Spirit has enlightened them or because of experience or because of like my background in education. Like we say defer in that situation, but like not in the active part of parenting. Like we don't defer. We're both parenting. There's a Instagram account, Dads Don't Babysit. I think it's Dads Don't Babysit. And there's like underscores. Anyways, but it's about like this idea that dads like, oh, who's babysitting the kids tonight? Oh, dad, you know, and like, like, no, dads are dads and they're fathers and they're parents and they should be as equally involved in raising their children and making the decisions and deciding like how we're going to handle these situations. And I think, oh my gosh, actually this makes me think of the teenagers. You brought up teenagers, but, with our youth group kids that like when one parent has been like the main parent for so long and then suddenly these like actual big deal things come up in teenage years that like can be really intense and scary. And like these little kids things don't seem like a big deal, but like if you've been passive for that long,
yeah,
like you don't get to engage then. You don't know how to.
Yeah.
They don't trust you. The spouse doesn't believe that you can do it. Like
you start one bean at a time. We gave them hope that episode. One bean at a time.
One bean at a time. Yeah.
As you roll your eyes.
Well, a little bit. Like I don't know. Like I just think that like
it's important
to start. Yeah, don't take a back seat. Like if you're a parent of young children, you have the opportunity to not have to plant like to put beans in a jar and actually like already be there. Stop looking at the compass.
No, I'm looking to see which way is north.
I know what you're doing. You're playing with a little kid.
I'm paying attention.
You're playing with a toy and it's distracting
me. It's not a toy. It's a real compass.
It's a toy compass.
But it's not pointing north now. Can you make it point north? I was paying attention. They were none the wiser. See, you're
I know. That's why I asked you to stop because I wanted to participate.
The corner's north.
If you are a parent of young children, okay, so this is not if you're
compi. Multiple compasses.
We're falling apart now. How many minutes have we been recording? This is it.
47.
We've hit the limit. 47?
Ish.
That was the problem. 48. We set a tight 45.
I just wanted to make the compass point north. I would have listened.
Get involved now so that you're not so you don't miss out on it later.
End it with wisdom. This is great. 114 in the books.
114 in the books. If you participated in the making, you have to participate in the molding. I like that.
Yes. Sorry,
I want to remember that line.
I'll keep it recorded.
Excellent. Post. You won't cut that out.
We will see you guys
at the next episode.